The Lord be with you. Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. Special welcome to visitors who are with us this morning. It is good to be together. It is good to be back with you after a couple weeks of vacation. There are some announcements in the bulletin. First, a special thank you to Avis, who's pulling double duty this week while Art is on vacation. This afternoon, after worship, we will be serving home communion. So if you're one of the serving teams for that, please go back and pick up the elements in the gathering room. This evening at 7 o'clock, the summer Sabbath series continues. If you're participating in that or if you're interested, I invite you to come at 7 o'clock this evening and learn a little bit more about Sabbath. There's a special note in the bulletin about a youth project that's going to be happening this Friday, helping prepare some food for the Sadler Health Fair. The Sadler Health Fair is Friday. It's Friday afternoon and evening. It will be all around downtown, and we're going to be helping with some of those events. There's also information in your bulletin about Welcome Back Sunday on September 9th. That's when we go back to our regular schedule. Prayer in the morning, Sunday school for all ages, and worship. And on the 9th, we will be having a welcome back luncheon. There's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. The Parish Life Committee is providing chicken, I guess. That's what I'm told. Yes? Good. Thank you. And you're asked to sign up for a side or a salad or a dessert. So there's plenty of sign-ups in the fellowship hall. We invite you to do that and to participate with us. It's always a wonderful time and good food. Many of you have asked, and so I know you've been praying for my grandfather. I just wanted to thank you for your prayers. He is out of the hospital after having two pacemaker surgeries. He is back at his care center, receiving excellent care, but he is still struggling with a lot of pain from other issues. And on Friday, he'll be 97. So I'm grateful, and my family is grateful for all your prayers, especially while I was away. Thank you. It is good to be together in God's house. Let us worship God together. Please stand as we worship God together. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Steadfast love endures forever. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
Thank you.
proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him. Because we have faith in Christ, we dare to approach God with confidence. Together, therefore, let us pray. Holy God, in the light of your holiness, we see ourselves as we really are, and we are ashamed. We confess that we are people of impure thoughts and unclean lips. We think too highly of ourselves and too little of others. We cling so tightly to the treasures of this world that we cannot open our hands to receive blessings from above. Our feet follow the paths of sin. We wander so far astray that we become strangers to righteousness. Forgive us and set us again on the path that leads to life. Deal with us not as we deserve, but according to your mercy, not because we are worthy, but because you are gracious. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. Behold, a new life is begun. Brothers and sisters, hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
Together, as the forgiven children of Christ, let us pray that each of us will hear the word Jesus has for us today and will know that we are to do and listen to it. Let us pray. Guide us, O God. Could have the children come forward, please. So tell me, do you have a favorite food? Is there something you really love to eat? Claire, I know that your Gram is known for her brownies, isn't she? She makes great brownies, and she makes them with great love. And your Gram makes everything. And she serves us so well with great love. And there are so many people in our congregation who love us through food. Mrs. Hammond makes wonderful ham and bean soup for me. Mrs. Kretzing makes an apple pie that, oh, the angels couldn't do as well. Food is something that we know as people. And from the tiniest baby to the oldest person, we all need to be nourished. We all need to be fed. And you know what? God feeds us. God feeds us with wonderful foods. And some who know that I have the palate of a five-year-old boy think that macaroni and cheese, thank you, Mrs. Patterson, for all the good macaroni and cheese you've made me in my life, and chicken tenders, I think, are like fine cuisine. But God says, here, I'm going to feed you. And we're going to hear stories today of God feeding his people. And you know, it doesn't stop there. God feeds us too at this table. Later on today, we are going to have bread that is going to be Jesus' body. And it will remind us that Jesus loves us. And we put it in our mouth and we take it into our body. And we are nourished and fed. Not because we are so wonderful, but because God is so wonderful to love us and feed us, both in our bodies, in our hearts, and in our souls. So let us thank God for all the meals that we have had in our life, and especially the meal that we will have today. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your wonderful creation, for so many marvelous foods and tastes that we get to enjoy. But we know, Lord, that the meal of your communion with us is a meal of love and care. So we give you thanks for being willing to come to this earth to die for our sins and to continue to feed us each day. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, girls.
Good morning. Our first lesson continues our study of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. If you would care to read in your pew Bible, you may find this passage in New Testament, page 21. Give heed now to God's holy word. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose to do with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord.
second lesson today is from Exodus, chapter 16, verses 1 through 21. Listen again to God's word. The people have come into the wilderness and need to be fed. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger." And the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard your complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person, according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents.' The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who had gathered much had nothing over, and those who had gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over until morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In retrospect, I probably should have titled this sermon "Unrecognized Blessings," but if you haven't noticed by now, my sermon titles often have very little to do with the content of my sermons. In fact, sometimes it's completely different. I've never really been good at coming up with sermon titles, and for a while I just gave up on it entirely. Avis and I have an understanding. If I don't give her a title by Thursday, she doesn't put one in the bulletin. But if I'd been on my game this week, I would have titled this sermon Unrecognized Blessings. Because here in the wilderness, the complaints of the Israelites still ringing in his ears, God decides to bless his people, his chosen people, in the most ordinary yet tangible way imaginable. He feeds them. Now the Israelites, they've only just escaped slavery in Egypt, if you forgot where we've picked up here in the book of Exodus. They've only just escaped their slavery in Egypt. They've only just crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They've only just witnessed the entire Egyptian army, soldiers and chariot drivers and chariots and horses and all those other things that go along with the Egyptian army. They've been destroyed, and the Israelites have seen this. They've watched them drown in the rushing waters of the Red Sea. And the songs of praise for their deliverance, their songs of praise to God for their deliverance are still on their lips when the murmuring begins. And soon it becomes a full-throated complaint. If only we had died by the hand of the Lord back in Egypt. If only we had died back in Egypt. When we sat by the flesh pots and we ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out here in this wilderness, Moses. You have brought us out here to kill this whole assembly with hunger. What could you be thinking doing this to us, Moses? I love how the Israelites often sound like hungry, moody kids right on the edge of a meltdown in a restaurant waiting for their food to arrive. What's taking so long? I am going to starve to death if dinner doesn't get here soon. Oh, how quickly we forget. It's only been a month and a half since the Israelites left Egypt, and already they're looking back through rose-colored glasses. Oh, sure, we were slaves in Egypt, but it wasn't so bad. Yeah, you know, that Pharaoh, he was a pretty mean guy, and he whipped and beat and killed a lot of us, but, you know, at least we had enough food to eat. How quickly we forget. But like any good parent, God has come prepared, sort of like animal crackers in the glove box. Contrary to what the Israelites think, God has not brought them, his chosen people, out of slavery, out into the wilderness, only to starve them to death. God tells Moses the plan, an amazing plan that will sustain the people of Israel for 40 years. Every morning, manna, bread, will appear on the ground, a fine, flaky substance. It tastes like wafers and honey, we're told, and it can be made into loaves of bread. And then in the evening, God will send quails to cover the camp. Bread and meat, not perhaps the most exciting menu, but enough to sustain God's people for 40 years. So Moses and Aaron explain this plan to the Israelites. They give them all the important details, and the first night everything goes as planned. At twilight, the quails start to appear, and the people are able to catch them and prepare them for their dinner. But then in the morning, something strange happens. The dew is burned off by the bright morning sun, and the people look out from their tent flaps and they see this fine, flaky substance on the ground. It looks almost like frost. And when the Israelites see it, they look at one another and they say, "What is it? What is it?" Moses comes up and says to them, "It's bread. It's the bread the Lord has given you to eat." I love that question. What is it? It's a great question. It's a question we probably don't ask often enough these days. Children are awfully often very inquisitive. What is it, they ask? But by the time you grow up a little bit, you kind of stop asking that question. But maybe we should ask it more. What is it? What is this fine substance covering the ground? Turns out that fine flaky substance is God's way of blessing his people. They're hungry. They need bread. So God gives them bread. It's an unexpected, unrecognized blessing. How often do we look at a blessing from God and ask, what is it? How often do we see a blessing and not recognize it as a blessing? How often do we receive a blessing, but it's not at all what we expected? There are times in our lives when we don't or can't see a blessing for what it really, truly is. It looks strange or dangerous or unexpected, and we just can't quite wrap our heads around it. Kind of like the Israelites who wake up and poke their heads out of their tent flaps and look at the ground covered with bread and ask, what is it? Sometimes blessings require a bit of a different perspective. Sometimes we need some help to see them for what they really are. The Israelites have Moses and Aaron to explain what the manna is. It's bread. Tastes good, you should eat it. Yeah, but Moses, it looks funny and it's on the ground. I mean, what about the 5-second rule? It doesn't look like anything we've ever eaten before, not like anything we ever had back in Egypt. And you told us we would have quail in the evening and bread in the morning, and this just doesn't look like bread. So what's going on? But with a little prodding from Moses and Aaron, they finally figure it out. The manna is bread, good bread, and it will sustain them. God's people, you see, they needed a different perspective on their blessings in order to recognize them as blessings. Sometimes we need to see our blessings with a bit of a different perspective in order to see what they really are. What happens if you're expecting a loaf of Wonder Bread, but you get manna instead? It might seem like a real letdown or a real let up. It might seem like God is ignoring your needs. But then somebody walks by and says, it's bread, it tastes good, you should eat it. If you stop and think about it, you've probably all had someone in your life like Moses who has helped you see a blessing for what it really is. Maybe it was your parents or a teacher or a complete stranger. Maybe it was someone you've known your whole life or someone you only just met. But they helped you see things a little differently in a new light. Sometimes blessings are big and easy to see. Sometimes they're hiding right there in plain sight, like manna all over the ground. However God blesses us, we can be assured that it is exactly the right way. God gives us exactly what we need. That doesn't mean we get everything we want, and that can be a bit of a problem for some of us. There's a temptation to see God's blessing as getting everything we want. And if we don't get everything we want, well, then maybe God hasn't blessed us. We tend to think the more we get, the more blessed we are. I've always been more than a bit uncomfortable with thinking that our excesses are God's blessings. As if God chooses to bless us with fancier cars and beach houses and longer vacations while other people simply struggle to get by. An overabundance is just that. Think about the Israelites, gathering manna, for instance, if you struggle with that. Moses tells each of them to go out and to gather an omer of manna each morning. Now, I looked it up. An omer is about 2.5 quarts. That'll help you put it in a little perspective. And as the Israelites are out every morning gathering manna, some of them gather a lot more than an omer, a lot more than 2.5 quarts. And some of them gather a lot less. But when everyone comes back to the camp, and when they all get together and measure their manna, they find that those who gathered much had nothing over. They still had an omer. And those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. I've often wondered how the Israelites reacted to this. Were the ones who gathered a lot of manna, were they surprised? Were they upset or angry when they figured out that they only actually had one omer? Did they somehow feel cheated for all their hard work? Did they think that gathering excess manna somehow meant that they were better than everyone else, or at least better than the ones who gathered less? There's a temptation for us to think that the more we have, the more God has blessed us. But if you've ever spent time with people who don't have very much, you discover that the less you have, the easier it is to see your blessings. Sometimes I think all this extra stuff that we have crowding our garages and closets and rented storage units keeps us from seeing how God really blesses us. Andrew White is an Anglican priest, and he used to serve at St. George's Church in Baghdad, Iraq. He served there all during the Second Iraq War. He wrote a Christmas message a few years ago that has stuck with me. He writes about some visitors who had come to Baghdad to see what the daily life was like there, especially for Christians. Canon White writes, "They were so surprised by how happy the thousands of people were in our congregation. How can you be so happy when you are surrounded by suicide bombs and mortar rockets and so much violence?" one of the visitors asked. There was a long silence. And finally, one of our young people answered the statement. "You see, when you've lost everything, Jesus is all you've got left. And when Jesus is all you have left, you quickly discover that he is enough." God has blessed us, even if that can be hard to see or hear or understand, or if we want more. God has blessed us, and it is most clearly seen and heard and understood in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is God's primary blessing, sent to the world, sent because he is God's Son, sent by the Father who loves us, sent not to condemn us, but to save us. So who are we to question how God blesses and who God blesses? Jesus tells this wonderful parable in Matthew's gospel about a landowner who goes out early in the morning to hire some men to work in his vineyard one day. And they agree on a wage and they get to work. And the landowner goes out again at 9 and noon and 3 and 5, and each time he finds men just standing around in the marketplace, idle, looking for work. And each time he sends them to his vineyards, telling them that he will pay them whatever is right at the end of the day. At the end of the day, the landowner and his manager gather the workers together. They line up as he begins to hand out paychecks. And those who started the last at 5, they receive the usual daily wage, but only for a couple hours of work. And the workers who started at 3 and at noon and at 9 they get the same amount, the usual daily wage. So the workers who started early in the morning, just as the sun was coming up, they are excited. They think that they're going to get a lot more money, maybe double the usual daily wage, since they have worked so many more hours than all these other men. But then they receive their paycheck, and it is for the exact same amount, the usual daily wage. And so they question the landowner, grumbling about how unfair they have been treated. And the landowner reminds them that you agreed to work for the usual daily wage. We shook on it this morning. As for those other workers, I chose to give them the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? The landowner asks. Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Talk about unexpected blessings. Those laborers hired at the end of the day, they certainly weren't expecting to receive that much money. And maybe that's why we struggle to comprehend God's blessings. We're not expecting that much. We're not expecting God to take on human flesh and come live among us. We're not expecting God to teach us a new, different way to live. We're not expecting God to go to the cross and die for us. And we're certainly not expecting the tomb to be empty. But it is. And Jesus is alive, and the Holy Spirit is at work, and we are being called to this table today to receive a blessing from God. God calls us to this table, whether we've believed for a day or a week or a month or a lifetime. God calls us to come to this table, to come and to discover our all too often unrecognized blessings. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and minds to comprehend the blessings you have bestowed on us. Help us to see them, to know them, to understand them, that we may be your faithful people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
together, let us affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning, as we pray together, let us keep in our minds Bill Stoops, who went back into the hospital this morning with some breathing pneumonia problems, and also Dave Shuey, who was in and out of the hospital this week for treatment and some work. We keep in mind the Toms Bowman family, those of you who know that Jay Toms died this week. And that is Phyllis Bowman's son-in-law, Marcia's husband, and his memorial service was Friday. Also, the Dars' sister-in-law, Kim Wallace, who we have prayed for, also lost her battle to cancer this week. So please keep Ellen and Dick in your prayers at the death of Kim Wallace. Let us pray together. Lord of our lives, as we come before you, turn down the volume of our anxious hearts. Calm our racing minds. In these moments of quiet, let us sense your presence among us. As thousands of years ago, when the Hebrews cried in the desert, Lord, don't you know we are hungry? Why did you bring us here to die? So we, in our need, also call upon your mercy and your reassurance, Lord. May we see the manna that you send to us, shown in family and friends, fed by scriptures and song, your kind words and gentle touch of your people. Gracious Lord, you know we worry. We worry about health and finances, about our responsibilities and relationships. We thirst to have our fears quenched and our needs fed. Give us faith, faith to know that you are working in each of our lives and in the lives of each person in this world. How often our highest aspirations in life seem to be mocked by our own failings. Seeking to be loyal, we nonetheless betray ourselves and others. Yearning to live in self-giving love, we yet seem to serve our own ends. Reaching for courage, we sacrifice the good for the safe. Even as a nation, while holding high ideals of freedom and justice, we often accept much less and leave the weakest among us, the children, the sick, the alien, to settle for the leftovers. Within all these realities of our life, we look to you, gracious Jesus. You, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, having been troubled and tempted and tried on this earth also. By your grace, grant us hope to believe that your guiding, creative hand still draws forth new and unexpected growth, even from the dark soil of loss and pain and regret. We express gratitude for those present with all of us who are helpers and givers in our own lives, givers of sound advice, givers of encouragement, givers of moments to lift our spirits. We cannot know everything, Lord, but we can know you. And so we give thanks for you, O God, coming to us, for being with us, the one in whom our ultimate hope is rooted, Our highest good is found, and our deepest strength is grounded. You, O Lord, our faithful Savior. You bring triumph out of tragedy and life out of death. And while on earth, urge us to pray together these words, which we pray now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We now have the opportunity to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us in this life as the ushers come forward. Together, let us pray. God, you are ever faithful. We long to be faithful givers, modeling ourselves on you who has given everything to us. May your spirit of abundance, which gives more than we can ask or imagine, bless these gifts for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
seated. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at table together in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. It's not my table or your table or even the church's table. This is the Lord's table. And our Savior invites those who trust in him and have been baptized to share in this feast, which has been prepared. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ, in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With thanksgiving, O God, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out upon us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith, encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh in the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. This morning, we invite you to come forward by the center aisle to receive the bread by intinction. The gluten-free option is available by the baptismal font. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let the people come. Please join me in the responsive prayer after communion. Most gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for what you have given us and for what you have promised us in this meal. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. May we whom the Spirit bring life to others. May we whom the Spirit enlightens light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth lives to praise your name. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Thank you.
into the world in peace. Have courage, hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the suffering. Honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.